Hello, welcome to module 34. In this module, we'll look at part 6 of Overcoming Denominational Differences. And I would say that perhaps 40 years ago, 35 years ago, this would be a really huge one. I remember back in, about 88, 1988, that is, that this lady called me and she said, "Doctor says that I am losing weight, I can't absorb food or eat, and that if I don't put on some weight within the next week or so, they're going to have to do a colostomy, remove part of my intestine, and I will have a bag on the outside of me for the rest of my life." Not very promising. So I prayed and I told her, "You should receive communion once a day, every day." She did, and called me at the end of 10 days and said, "At the end of 10 days, I put on 1 pound a day, every day for 10 days, and the doctors told me today there is no need for surgery." The power of communion. How very wonderful. Now, at that time, in my experience and knowledge, very few Protestant churches were receiving communion. Today, I'm aware of a few small denominations where they have communion every service, and many independents. But still, to my knowledge, the larger denominations do not receive communion very often. Tonight I want to look, at this point in time, I want to look at the importance of communion. In our healing school, which is 1.5 years, 3 semesters, there are really only 2 topics we cover in each of the 3 semesters. All the other topics are different. We cover unforgiveness. That is, we cover the importance of forgiving in all 3. Each time, it gets deeper and deeper, more and more important. We also cover communion in all 3 semesters. Each time, it becomes deeper and more meaningful and more powerful. I want to look at communion from the following perspective. There are not many things in the scriptures which are repeated more than 2 or 3 times. I think 2 is often quite a lot. If we look at the birth of Jesus, it's covered in detail in the book of Luke. Book of Matthew simply says, Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah in Bethlehem, and goes on. That's it. It's not really referenced in Mark or John, and not in the Acts or the epistles. The crucifixion is covered in detail in all 4 gospels, but not in Acts, not in the epistles. So that's 4. You could also make a case of saying in Isaiah 53, there are 3 verses that talks about the crucifixion. Yes, it talks about what would happen, how he looked, and what he was doing at a spiritual and physical level. Isaiah 53, verse 3, 4, and 5. Verse 5 says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. So, if you were to use that, you could say, well, it's referenced in some detail, the crucifixion referenced in some detail in 5 locations. Well, let's look at communion. Communion is in detail in Matthew, Mark, Luke, 1 Corinthians. It's foreshadowed in the Passover in Exodus. And the most powerful aspect of communion is in the book of John. 6 locations. And we're going to look at 4 of them tonight. Actually, we're going to look at 5 of them tonight. So just by frequency of occurrence, I would think you should feel the way I do, which is communion is very, very important. So let's see if I can convey this as we go through the scriptures. My overview says communion is remembering, reenacting. The same word can mean reenact. That's what we're doing. We're reenacting, we're reliving the Last Supper and what Jesus was doing and saying, not just to the disciples, but to us. We're establishing and releasing the power of the Last Supper in our lives. That's a very powerful statement. We are establishing and releasing the power of the Last Supper in our lives. So let's look at communion in the New Testament. Not all the references, but some. From the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So he's saying, take, eat, this is my body. Now, when I receive communion and I read that, I said, this is my body, this is the body of Jesus. I also say, and because of this broken body, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I always turn communion into a healing service for myself and for when I lead people in communion. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament. Remember, the word testament and the word covenant are the same. He's saying, this is my blood of the new covenant. If we look at the covenants in the Old Testament, we see that they were sealed in blood. He's saying, my blood is sealing this covenant. What is a covenant? The covenant is the New Testament. All the promises of the New Testament belong to you because it's sealed in the blood of Jesus. If you keep the conditions, they manifest in your lives. His blood is creating a new covenant, greater and better than the old covenant of the Old Testament. His blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For many for the remission of sin. We often say that Jesus died for everybody and shed his blood for everybody. But here he's saying, no, he shed his blood for many. So who are the many for whom he's shedding his blood? Well, certainly, part of that qualification are those who believe it. As you believe, so you receive. But we look more at this in part two on communion. This is just part one on communion that we're dealing with here in this module. Let's look at the same scriptures in Mark. Mark 14:22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. The same words, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Not exactly the same words everywhere, but exactly the same teaching and the same declaration. His blood shed for many. I know the story of this lady, I don't know her personally, where she was challenged with cancer. Doctors couldn't help her, she was beyond help. And she went to this place, a home for ministers and people they're ministering to. And she went there, she was welcome, she got a room. The Lord had been moving on her to receive communion, but she had not got around to it. She did not realize how important it was. When she got up next morning, outside her door were the communion elements. So she took it, received communion, started receiving every day. She got her total miraculous healing. Totally miraculous healing from a situation which doctors would say is terminal beyond hope. From the book of Luke, Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. My body, given in remembrance of me. We have his body, we receive it in memory of what he's done for us. What has he done for us? Well, God had a covenant with man. God gave man the earth and authority and dominion over everything on the earth. He gave man a body, a glorified body, so full of the glory of God that Adam did not need clothes, neither Eve. And they didn't have to sin. There was no sickness, nor disease, infirmity, nor death until they sinned. So God's covenant was this: I'm giving all this to you, and you are to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You are to till the garden and protect. Just don't be disobedient. And Adam and Eve didn't do it. They were disobedient. They broke the covenant, the agreement with God. So the glory had departed. They knew they were naked. So God took the skins of animals. Now, why did he take the skins of animals? Well, he could have made them. He could have made clothes for them. But he took the skins of animals. Scriptures don't say that, but I believe he killed the animals and took their skins. That blood was shed. And because that blood was shed, I think that it somehow covered over Adam and his sins so they could continue along on their life. But the shedding of blood started right there in Genesis and continues throughout the scriptures, foreshadowing the communion table, the sacrifice of Jesus and the communion table. Luke 22:20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The New Testament in my blood. It's called the cup of blessing. All the blessings of the New Testament come to you through the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10 calls it the cup of blessing. When we receive that cup of blessing, we are acknowledging, we are acting on, we are using it as a point of contact to release into our lives, into our bodies, all the blessings of the New Testament, which comes to you through the blood of Jesus, purchased by the blood of Jesus, that belong to you in your salvation package. And many, many people never move into that place of receiving the manifestations of any of the more major aspects of their salvation package. They may receive a few of the more well-known ones, such as, you know, healing from more or less minor challenges, etc., or from major challenges using doctors, but to get miraculous healings for themselves, sometimes they get it by having somebody else pray for them. But God wants us to be able to receive all these miracles of healing and finances and of every other aspect of the salvation package on our own. Jesus Christ died. On the day he died, the veil was torn in two in the temple. Man now has access to God. We can come boldly under the throne of grace for mercy and help whenever we want to. We don't need to wait around for an anointed man or woman. We have total access to God. And the communion and the cup releases these blessings into your life. From 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11:23. This is the Apostle Paul writing after Jesus had appeared to him and taught him. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So take, eat, this is my body broken for you. His body was broken for you. This is the most detailed of the retelling of the Lord's table. This is the one I use for my own personal communion. This is the one I recommend to you, that in receiving communion, you use 1 Corinthians 11:24 for the body, and as you receive it, you do that prayer of affirmation. And because of this broken body, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You do the same with the blood in 1 Corinthians 11:25. And when you receive the blood, you say, "Because of this blood, my sins have been washed away. My sins have been remitted. And I have access to all the blessings in the New Testament, our covenant." That's a good prayer. You can adapt it as you like it. But I recommend, again, using these two verses, 24 and 25 in 1 Corinthians 11. And each time you receive the body and the blood, you affirm one of the blessings that you are standing in faith for. Something that you need in your life is provided to you either directly through the body or through your salvation package, accessible by the blood of Jesus. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this," it doesn't say once in a while, say "for as often as you eat it." Who determines how often you eat it? You do. "For as often as you eat it." I remember back in 1993, I was going through some serious challenges, and my prayers were not manifesting the way I would want them. And so I asked the Lord for directions, and he told me to receive communion every 15 minutes, all day long. First day I did it 53 times. I believe I did it 3 days. 53 times in one day. That process broke the power of hell that was attacking me, set me free, changed my life, and brought the manifestations for which I was awaiting. They were not physical manifestations. It was a very complex situation, but it set me free. About 20 years later, 25 years later, I read someplace that Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest evangelists of all times, during times of challenges, and his challenges were physical challenges, that the Lord would have him receive communion every 15 minutes. He got rid of that particular challenge. In fact, that's the only challenge I'm aware that he had in his body. It lasted for a couple of years, I believe. It was very painful. He would minister the gospel, getting people healed while he himself was challenged in his body. There are times when he'd be taken basically by an ambulance of sorts to where he's preaching. Get up, go and preach, and go back the same way. But communion broke it, and he got his healing. And from then on, whenever he was challenged, he would receive communion every 15 minutes. "For as often as you eat it." Now, 15 minutes is very, very often. Certainly not recommended that. But I certainly would like to recommend that you start by having it once a day. Try it. I guarantee you will like it. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Sooner the better." 1 Corinthians 11:27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So it is a holy process with the Lord, a holy gift from the Lord, and we should treat it as holy. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine himself. 1 John 1:9 tells us, as we have looked at in previous modules, that if you confess your known sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So I believe the examine means look for known sins in your life which you have never confessed. When you got saved, you repented of your life and the sins in the life, you were born again and you started afresh. But when you got saved, you could not repent of the sins you're going to commit tomorrow. Frankly, today you can't do that. You won't know what sins you're going to commit tomorrow until you commit them. And the scriptures are saying, when you do something and it contradicts God's word, simply acknowledge it. The confession is not asking for forgiveness. Your forgiveness has been paid for already. Jesus took all your sins. You've been forgiven. But it is necessary to acknowledge and confess what you did. Lord, I did this. It contradicts your word. Please help me not to do it again. And thank you, in the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Why? Because the great majority of sins that you commit and I commit, we don't know what they are. They fall in the category of unknown sins. We can't confess them because they are unknown. But when you do confess the ones you know, acknowledge it and repent and determine you're not going to do it again, then God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I believe that's how we should start communion, by examining ourselves and receive it. Now notice the directions here. You don't want to receive it unworthily. So as not to receive it unworthily, you want to examine yourselves. The unworthily is an adverb. It is an adverb, not an adjective. The adverb describes the way you do it, not who you are. It's not saying you can do it when you are unworthy. We are all unworthy on our own. But we are born again, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins washed away. In Christ Jesus, we are all worthy. We are all worthy. That's the adjective describing us. We are worthy because of what he did. But don't receive communion unworthily. One main way is don't receive it with unconfessed sins in your life that you know about. Now, if you don't know about any sins, just say, Lord, I don't know any sins. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That simple. But you can receive it unworthily in different ways. You could be sitting up watching a less than acceptable TV show and having communion. That's no way to respect what Jesus Christ did for you. No, it's a time of worship, a time of holiness, a time of commitment, a time of consecration, a time of putting God first and coming to the feet of Jesus and saying, thank you. Look what you did for me. That's doing it worthily. But it starts with confessing your known sins. We will come back to that concept, but let's go on to part B. The Passover foreshadowed communion. You know, after Adam sinned, everything in the Bible foreshadowed Jesus and what he's going to do and what he's done. All the way up until his return. Actually, all the way up until the great white throne judgment, time of the great white throne judgment. It's all about Jesus. But when he comes back, at that point in time, those who are alive and are raptured are now brought to a state where they can start picking up where Adam was supposed to have been going. So definitely, everything from the time Adam sinned until Jesus returns is all foreshadowed in the scripture, and it's all about correcting the mistake that Adam made. And those who are alive and remain when Jesus returns, they will be given a glorified body. And that's Adam on steroid. That's Adam, the way God wanted Adam to eventually end up. That's just an aside. No extra charge for that. No. The Passover foreshadowed communion. Exodus 12:5. This is when Moses is in the process of delivering the Hebrews out of Egypt. And because of what Pharaoh said, the destroyer would come and kill the firstborn of every family. And so to prevent that, and to enable their release from Egypt, God gave specific directions so that when the destroyer, when death came and passed over, it would pass over the homes of the Hebrews who were obedient. So Exodus 12, verse 5, the Lamb shall be without blemish. Jesus never sinned. You shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses where they shall eat it. And when the destroyer, when death came, it could not enter into the houses where the blood was on the door. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread. And quite often in communion we use unleavened bread, bread without yeast. And with other herbs they shall eat it. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remained of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Very specific instruction, very important, very much prophetic of the future. Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So, the blood protected them. The blood of a lamb, of a sheep or a goat, protected them, saved them from the death that stalked the land. If the blood of a lamb saved their lives, what would the blood of the Lamb of God do for you? And the answer is the new covenant in the New Testament. All the wonderful things the New Testament has for you. You're born again. You can live in Jesus Christ. You should grow up to live in Christ Jesus. You should walk in the resurrection power of Jesus. And use all that power and authority that's in the name of Jesus. And walk in all the blessings that Jesus Christ purchased for you. That's how much more the blood of the Lamb of God does for you. And all that includes healing you from every sickness, disease, and infirmity. I've mentioned back a number of modules ago that when people find out how many years it has been since my wife and I have been to a doctor or gotten sick, we've had challenges, but we can overcome every challenge with the Word of God. We never get sick. We never miss an appointment. We are never bedridden. We fight them off. No medicines, no doctors, no hospitals, no drugs. People say, you must have tremendous faith. No, I say, we all have tremendous faith. God gave us the measures of faith. With a mustard seed of faith, you can move a mountain. But what we have is we understand some of the power of what God has done for us in His covenant. We understand the power that's in communion. My wife and I receive communion together with each other at least once a day, every day, as far as I recall, since we've been married. I've been receiving communion every day, at least once a day, since 1993. About 3 years ago, the Lord said, I want you to start receiving communion 5 times a day. I've done that without a failure, without a miss, the last 3 years. I started about 9 months before the pandemic, I started receiving communion 5 times a day. I'm still doing it. That's a bit of knowledge. Knowing how much healing and protection there is for you at the Lord's table. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them, the Hebrew slaves, out, also with silver and gold. They're slaves, they're leaving Egypt, the greatest power on earth. And they plundered them, took their silver and gold. Not only that, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. The Passover healed them all and provided. It protected the firstborn from death, healed all the rest, and provided them this wealth that they walked out with the wealth of Egypt. Part C, benefits of communion. Your salvation package contains everything you need for life and godliness. Everything you need for life and godliness. No matter what challenge you're having right now, your salvation package has a solution there. It belongs to you. And one way of bringing the blessing of the salvation package, manifesting it in your life, in your body, is communion. Receiving the body is one way of bringing into manifestation the healing purchased for you by the stripes of Jesus. As I said before, when you read 1 Corinthians 11:24, and you read about the body, eat this body, you say, because of this body, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Simple and powerful. Receiving the blood is an excellent way, not the only way, it's an excellent way to bring the righteousness of God out from your spirit into your members as holiness. Romans 6:16 says, whoever you obey, you are their servant. Whether you're serving disobedience, sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. And it goes on in verse 19 to say that the righteousness that's in you, you should obey God, obey the scriptures, obey righteousness, and let it manifest in your members as holiness. Verses 16 and 19 go together. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, your righteousness is the gift of God. Your spirit is born again, righteous. There is no sin in you. You are a spirit. The sin is in your members, in your body. But you, the spirit, is separated from the rest of your being by your heart being a veil, separating God, who cannot live in sin, from the rest of your being that is full of sin or can be full of sin. So God lives in your spirit. So in your spirit, there is no sin. Now the goal is to take the righteousness that's in your spirit and drive out of our members all the sin and the desire for sin. C4, protection comes as you move under the covering of the blood of Jesus by partaking of the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10:16 talks about the cup of blessing. The world is as if there's a rain of curses. When it's raining normal water rain and we're going out, we take an umbrella. The umbrella protects us from the falling rain. If you see the world as a rain of curses and you want to go through this world, go out into this day in this rain of curses, you want to be protected by an umbrella. Picture the blood of Jesus over you as an umbrella. People pray about covering yourself with the blood of Jesus. And the best way to do that is simply confess your sins and receive communion. And the protection comes up in you. We know Psalm 91 says, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and then all the blessings follow you. No evil shall befall you. Angels bear you up lest you fall. No plague can come near your dwelling place. All these blessings come to you. Because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. That's another way of seeing yourself in the secret place of the Most High God. Part D, how to receive communion. Repeating 1 Corinthians 11:29, we read that earlier. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. See how important communion is. It's covered in detail in three of the Gospels. The fourth Gospel, John, covers it in a much more powerful manner, and we look at that in the next module on communion. It's covered in 1 Corinthians, and it's foreshadowed in the Passover. Six locations compared to one location, basically, for the birth of Jesus. And it's so important, it's telling you, examine yourself before you eat. It's going to say, if you don't do that, if you don't examine yourself and you eat and drink unworthily, you bring damnation in yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. You bring damnation in yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, if you don't discern the Lord's body, you don't understand what that body did for you. You don't understand that in his body, he took your sins on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. If you don't discern that, then maybe you are not trying to live unto righteousness. And by the stripes on the body, you are healed. Maybe you don't know you were healed 2,000 years ago. Healing belongs to you. You have to receive it. To receive it, you must discern it. You must discern it and act in it, which usually starts with speaking it. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It goes on to show you how powerful the communion is. For this cause, this lack of discerning the Lord's body, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said many people die because they don't discern the Lord's body, because they're not receiving communion or not receiving it worthily. They're not examining themselves and receiving it to understand what the body and the blood did for them. Imagine that. Possibly the most referenced, most taught item in the scriptures, and so many people not partaking of it. Now, there are many places where in one verse something may be referenced, like salvation, for example. But taught in detail, taking multiple verses, telling a story, I can't think of anything that has that much coverage. Why? Because Jesus was the sacrifice. There was a sin, Adam's sin, and a perfect lamb had to pay for that sin. And in doing so, got us this new covenant, which is better than the old covenant. And that's all embodied in communion. And that's why we're spending two modules on it. Actually, we may spend three. So I'll just read this. Worthy is an adverb that refers to the manner and the understanding of receiving communion. You're worthy to receive communion, not due to your own personal holiness, but because Jesus took all your sins. Jesus took all your sins. In Christ Jesus, you're worthy. On my own, I'm nothing. On my own, I'm a sinner. On my own, I would have gone to hell. But Jesus saved me. He saved you. And in Christ Jesus, I can do all things. So can you. First Peter 2:24. Receive in faith because you know that Jesus took your sins in his body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, and by his stripes you've been healed. You can receive communion in faith knowing that. 1 John 1:9, receive in a holy manner by judging yourself and confessing any known sins. Again, you do not need to ask God to forgive you. Confession is, here's what I did, it contradicts your word. And if you want, and it's a good thing to do, say, Lord, help me not to do it again. And then you say, in the name of Jesus, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Now, a great time to remember to forgive people is in communion. Unforgiveness blocks all your prayers. Unforgiveness blocks all your prayers. So forgive others as soon as you know it. Forgive others as soon as you know it. But always examine yourself when you're going to confess your sin to make sure, did I miss anybody? When you forgive, in the name of Jesus, I forgive this person from my heart. Always say from my heart, I forgive this person from my heart for what they did. And you mention what they did. And in Jesus' name, I bless them. That's how you forgive. If you don't have a specific thing you can point to that the person did, then you can't really forgive them. In that case, it's covered by the unknown sins. But when you know specifically what they did, you have an incident that caused you to lose your joy, peace, or patience, that caused you to get angry. That's specific. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive them for causing me to lose my joy. From my heart, I forgive them. In Jesus' name, I bless them. 1 Corinthians 11:24. I recommend you use the scripture for receiving the body. And again, it's so important. Let me say it for the third time. As you read the scripture about receiving the body, you add, and because of this broken body, because this body broken for me, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you use verse 25 for receiving the blood. And as you receive the blood, you declare, and my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. I've been set free from sin. However you're led to say that, whatever really, you know, pops up in your heart is what you want to say, that is the scripture, that is scriptural. So, suggestion. Receive communion frequently, at least once per day. If you're married, I strongly recommend you receive one communion once a day by yourself and once a day with your wife, with your spouse. It will really help your marriage improve. You may have a wonderful marriage, but anything can get better. So, praise God. I hope this was helpful to you all. I hope you'll take it to heart and start partaking of communion and expect to see a miracle. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next module.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. Communion is such a wonderful subject, such a wonderful opportunity for us to get closer to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what we'll do right now. We partake of communion at every service here at ABC. We do personally multiple times a day, but we do at least once every service because this is so precious, so special, and it blesses us so much. God wants us to take it often. That's why he said, as often as you take it. Notice he did not put any restriction on it. As Pastor Joshua said, it's up to us to decide how often that will be. We make that decision. We choose how close we want to be to God and how often we want to partake. I'm so glad he did not put any limitation, because it gives us the opportunity to reach out to him and to just grab hold of him and to hang on. We are so very blessed. Thank you, Lord. So let's take a moment now to confess our sins as we come to the table to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. God wants us to come with a clean slate. This is a holy, we call it holy communion. So we want to be in a state of righteousness and holiness as we come to our God. So let's take a moment to do that according to what I like to call 119, 1 John 1:9. The Lord showed me that in the natural, we have an emergency we call 911. But spiritually, you want to call 119, 1 John 1:9. Confess those sins. Get back under the blood of Jesus. That's where we belong, and that's where we live safely and securely. So let's do that right now. If we're not aware of any sins, it's as simple as, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Please cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now we come to him, knowing that his word says that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He's wanting us to remember that healing belongs to us because he paid that price. His body broken, he took those stripes to pay the price for every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain that would ever be made known to mankind. I believe there are some new ones yet ahead between now and the return of Jesus. Things that Satan has in mind to bring against mankind. But Jesus already knew about it because he knows the end from the beginning, and he's already paid the price for every single one. Satan cannot outsmart Jesus. Jesus knows, and Jesus took care of it, and he did it out of his love for us. So what he wants us to do is to receive the healing and the wholeness that he paid for. And through this faith action plan of us partaking of the broken body of Jesus, we can now receive complete healing and wholeness in full manifestation as we now come together and partake together in remembrance, in rejoicing, and in thanksgiving unto our Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Actually, he said it's shed for many. But we've already accepted Jesus. And we come running to him and say, Lord, we know you shed it for me. You shed it for us. We are among the many. For we have received you, and we have received your sacrifice, and we want to receive all the blessings that you have for us. So thank you, Lord Jesus, that you washed all of our sins away. You washed the wages of sins away also with your precious blood shed for us. You sealed the old covenant, established the new, better, and everlasting covenant. You've made so much available to us. The salvation package is so amazing. But you are a big God, and you have so very much for us. I see it as all the glories of heaven that you brought down with you for us to experience here as we are currently ambassadors of heaven on earth, but you want us to experience your glories right here, right now, that we don't have to wait. Jesus has already paid the price. Let's receive now all that belongs to us as we partake together now of the precious blood of Jesus.